I'm going to read two familiar verses we've been going over in this study about science and philosophy together, and jump off from these two verses, and then we'll get into 1 Kings 22. But it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world." So we've got a worldly system that's against, and a worldly philosophy, a worldly mindset that's against. It says, and not after Christ, it's against the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so we've seen the rudiments of the world there. Then in Romans chapter number 12, a familiar verse again, but this is so important. One sermon, two sermons can't get it enough. You have to get it with several. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Now, people say, and we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, I would die for Christ. Well, he's not asking you to die for him, he's asking you to live for him. You die daily to yourself, but look, dying is easy. It's living that's hard. Why? Because you've got to live through hardships in life. He says, present your body living sacrifice, holy, that's separate, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's a reasonable thing to ask. Now he says this, and be not conformed to this world. One of the rudiments of this world. This world, but be you transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You know what he's trying to do? Brainwash you. Well, you know what the world's doing? You get your daily dose of brainwashing with that news. And I know it sounds mean and condescending, but y'all know me long enough now. It don't really matter. Y'all know what I mean well. But that news is a bunch of garbage, man. Amen. Why? If you get on that thing and all you hear is killing, dying, killing, dying, killing, dying. Well, no wonder people got the attitude of killing and dying. When people pull out in front of you, you want to kill them. Because that's something all you've been seeing. You know what makes me, I'm preaching before I even get to preach. You know what gets me? There was a point in my life, and I remember it, when I could see something on a news story and so-and-so's family died and this happened, the car accident, and I thought, man, that's terrible. Now I can see that stuff, and I'm just being honest with you. I wished it wasn't it, but you get in the course of this world. I get in the thing and say, wow, ain't this something? Just keep changing channels, man. Don't even think a thing about it. Why? Desensitized. You know what? We get our daily brainwashing, and you see that junk, and you just get to the place where it don't even bother you no more. That's why I don't want to see it. I don't want to. Why? I know what's happening. I need to get more of the Bible than I am the things of the world, because if not, I'll get in the course of the world, and before long, I'm thinking wrong.
That's right.
And people wonder why they're depressed and despondent, and get to the place where they don't want to do anything. It's because they've gotten in the course of the world. And that's what we want, because the Lord can give you joy. I didn't say happiness. Happiness is different than joy. Happiness is based on what happens. Joy is something God gives you down in your heart that gets you through the hard things. Okay, he says, "But by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know what? If you get in the course of that world, I've drawn on that chart for you.
That's right, brother.
You'll get to the place where people say, "I don't even know what the will of God is."
That's right.
I'm telling you from personal experience. I've got to the place where I didn't know the will of God. You know why I didn't know the will of God? Because according to that verse, if you get in the course of this world, you won't know the will of God. That's what we're going to go over today a little bit, and I hope something will be said to be a help to you. But we're going to pray. If we could, or Brother Mike, would you pray for it?
Again, Lord, we come to you, Lord, to humble us, to thank us, our hearts, Lord. Just thanking you, dear Lord, for what you mean to us and what you've done
yes.
for us on Calvary. And Lord, we thank you today, Lord, Brother Chase, as you've been to bring the word, Lord, the word of life. Lord, we just ask you today, Lord, you just turn him loose, let him go. Lord, just fill him up with that spirit.
Help us, help us.
Lord, that he'll be able to preach your word with boldness, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we'll be able to accept that word, Lord, to be wiser when we leave than what we want.
Yes, help us.
And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to be the ones that are sick, Lord, the ones in most pain today, you'd ease that pain. Give them some comfort and some rest today, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, for all things that we do it to glorify thy name. Nothing
yes.
that we do for ourselves. In your holy, sweet, precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on the subject of the philosophy of unity. The philosophy of unity. You know, the thing is, the world is talking about unity, and they've been talking about unity for a long time. We're going to go over biblical things where the world's been talking about unity for a long time. But there is a thing in Romans chapter 12, we're already here, but it talks about biblical unity, be of the same mind, one toward another. Romans 12:16, mind not high things, but condescend to men in the lowest state. You say, well, what's biblical unity? Being unified, the context is what he's talking about, is not going with the spirit of the world. Be not conformed. That was where he started at. Then whenever he says be of the same mind, he's not saying everybody just get out here and be like everybody else and jump in with the world and do what they want to. So how's the proper slant on the thing? Well, every one of us know that if you work, you've got to go to work. You got to go to the gas station. You got to go to Walmart. I mean, or somewhere, wherever you go to get your groceries. Now, the thing is, I know people nowadays, a lot of folks don't want to come to church, but you're going to go to Walmart. If you don't go nowhere else, you're going to go to Walmart. Look, you can go after church today. You can go to church, you can get out, and you can go to Walmart, and that place be packed.
Yes, sir.
What am I saying? People's going to you're going to be in the world, but how do you balance that with this verse right here? What he's saying is, on a spiritual aspect, you have to be on a completely different plane than the world. You're in the world, but not of the world.
There you go.
All right. Now, on this chart, I want to talk about some things about how the spiritual affects the physical, and the spirit of this world knows that. The devil knows the principle I'm going to tell you, but he uses it in the wrong way. Now, the thing I want to show you is when you get saved, there's one way to heaven. This way, one way, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven whether you like it or not. Now, whatever bad you've done or whatever bad anybody else thinks you've done, look, I've told people before, people say, I know Brother Chase did so-and-so. I can tell you a whole lot more I did you don't know about. But guess what? What you don't know about is this, it's washed in the blood. It's under the blood. All right, now, so when you trust Jesus, you're going to heaven. But the thing is, the Bible talks about paths of righteousness. Psalms 23 talks about paths of righteousness. So I'm here in a flesh body. All right, but I've got a spirit on the inside of me, and I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. So on the way to heaven, because I'm in a flesh body, my flesh can do sinful things in this flesh body. But the thing is, we got the circumcision of the spirit. Colossians 2 talks about it, and some verses later on. So my flesh is not connected to my soul. That's how come my soul is saved. Why? Because the deeds of this flesh, according to Colossians chapter 2, don't touch the soul. But at the same time, there are still consequences for what you do in the flesh. So here's paths of righteousness, and the Bible says in Romans that they are peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's a spiritual walk, and it's a street that's called straight. They're straight lines. But you know what the course of this world is? It's fleshly, it's sensual, it's devilish, and it's shaped like a serpent. And guess what? It's confusion.
That's exactly right.
You know what amazes me? I've showed you this before, but paths, the Lord gives you a straight path. There's the door. Jesus is the door. He'll give you a straight, simple, clean path, like the straight down this aisle right here. But you know what the devil will do? Oh, you can get there, but you know what? Why don't you just go this crooked way? And it'd be like me walking through all these pews to get there. It'd be a whole lot harder to get here going that way, and it would just straight.
That's right.
Now look, every one of you, if you've trusted Christ, you're on the way to heaven, but you neither get there the good way, the easy way, of having peace and joy in your heart in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
No matter what happens, no matter how bad things get in this world, Amen. You can still have spiritually peace and joy in the Amen. Holy Ghost while you're on the way there.
Absolutely.
But if you want to get in with the course of this world and go this way there, the course of this world's headed to hell.
Right.
So you know what? Everything you have and everything as far as your works will be burned up and all thrown into hell. Why? The Bible tells you the course of this world to be carnally minded is death. So you'll be there, be in heaven, but a lot of folks, you know what's going to happen? Works just going to be burned up.
Right.
Wood, hay, and stubble. Saved, just as saved as you can be. but have all kind of works burned. That's a terrible thing.
Right.
Now, you know what we don't want to do? We don't. I, as a preacher, I don't want to see you go on the course of this world. So, you know what I'd like to see you do? Have paths of righteousness. Now, because we're going to go in this text here in a little bit, and I'll probably actually go briefly over the text itself, but I want to lead into it by saying a way of introduction. The Bible says there's paths of righteousness, and I've got that kind of laid out there. The Bible says we need the Lord to guide our paths on this right course, and I want to give you a verse. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, how am I connecting the course of this world with paths? Do you know that if you look at synonyms, I can get the dictionary out, and you don't have to be just super smart to do it, but I'll get the dictionary out, and a synonym for course is path and way. So I know to match up, you say, how are you matching up Pauline doctrine with all this other stuff? Because I can take that and I can take the spiritual application and apply it to me. Why? The course of this world, you neither have the course or you can have the paths. Why? Broad is a way. The course. Broad is a way to lead to destruction. But paths are just, y'all ever saw little sheep paths and goat paths and deer paths? It's small. It's paths of righteousness. It's only a few on the paths. But the world is on the broad course. Why? It's easy. It's just easy to go down, get in a stream and just go down just like the world's doing. But it's hard to fight against that current sometimes, the current of this world. The Lord never told you that walking with Him was easy. He never said it was going to be easy. Now, salvation's easy. He made that easy. Why? All you got to do is trust Him. But now walking with Him is tough. Why? You're going against the course of the world.
That's right.
Now people say, man, it's tough and life is... Yes, it is. And God said it was going to be.
That's right.
But He's there to go in it with... Look, the Lord never saved you to get you out of trouble. He saved you to go through the trouble with you.
Amen.
And that's what He does. That's what He does. Now, the thing is, if you're not walking with the Lord, you don't have light for your paths. Now, the gospel is light, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the gospel is light. So if you got light, you got a little light. If you got that gospel, you got some light there. But it goes on further. The Bible says that God is light in 1 John 1:5. So you get the gospel. Yeah, you got God on the inside of it, but you got to walk with God. Then the Bible said, His word is light. In Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. People say, man, I want to go down these paths of peace. I need peace in my heart. I need joy in my heart. I need joy and all that stuff. Why? The world can offer you temporary peace and the world can offer you temporary happiness. But guess what? The world can't do it in the Holy Ghost. The world can't do it by the Spirit. So how do you do it by the Spirit?
Amen.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. The word lights this path right here. See that? Now, what do you do? You say, well, am I checking my attitudes by the world? Or are you checking it by the word? What does the world say about so-and-so? That's not what I'm concerned with. Every time I get up here and preach, I try to point you to the word, the word, the word. Why? Because, y'all, that's all you have in this world is pure. It's absolutely pure.
Pure.
Yeah. I have to point you to that. Why? Because you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I can't see the Holy Spirit. So to connect your flesh to the Spirit, He gave you a physical word that you're able to see. Why? Because there's spiritual things, that's a spiritual book, that affects the things of the flesh. And so sin affects you spiritually. But the problem is, it only manifests physically later. You remember in Genesis chapter 3, you got the fall of Adam and Eve. And the Lord said, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. The devil said, ah, you shall not surely die. You know how he got her? By putting things off years down the road. The day they ate, they died spiritually that day.
That's right.
It didn't affect them physically till later. You know what the devil tricks you into thinking? He says, man, you can sin spiritually, you can sin, it won't bother you, and it don't manifest till later on down the road.
Absolutely.
What I'm trying to show you is don't get on the course of that world. Why? Because they don't tell you where that's leading to.
That's right.
They don't tell you where you're going is leading to this. Why? Get off of that thing and get back on the path.
Amen.
You say, what do I do about it today? I've got all this going on. Get off that broad road and get on the path, and that'll get you back your joy and your peace that
Amen.
You're missing. That's what happens to me, and that's what happens to all of us. Absolutely. I'm just telling you from personal experience. So I want to give you a couple illustrations before I get in the text of how a spiritual battle can affect your fleshly situation. I'm going to start off with Genesis 32. And like I said, when I started this morning early, I started adding things to the sermon. I said, well, we just going to get as far as we can get. I want to give you a thing that starts off in Genesis 32. This is the first one I'm going to go over. How a spiritual issue, if you will handle it with the Lord in a spiritual issue with the spiritual path, it will affect your flesh situation. Now, the devil knows that. You know that's why you're getting there. The devil wants you to go by an unclean, sinful spirit that's the course of this world. That's how he can get the world in an unclean, spiritually situation, by going by the bad spirit. But at the opposite token, because he's an imitator and he wants to be like Christ, he counterfeits. If you will take the biblical principle of the spiritual affecting the physical, and you get right with your spirit, it'll affect you physically. Now, Genesis chapter 32, Jacob is a deceiver, man. That guy, he is a bad deceiver. If you ever read about him, sometimes we wouldn't get along with him. Brother Mike, you might punch him in the nose if you knew him, because he was bad deceptive. We'd have to do some bad praying around him. But now, I want to show you, he got to a place, y'all, where he didn't know what to do. All of us get, you're saved, you're going to get to a place. It's going to happen sooner or later. You're going to get to a place where you don't know what to do in that situation. Now, you know what he did? He gets to a place where he, in verse number 24, he gets along with God. Now, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get to a place where you got to get along. All kind of biblical characters go down through here, and you know what they do? You find out Abraham got along with God, Moses got along with God, Daniel got along with God, David got along with God, Paul got along with God, Jesus, the Lord Jesus himself got along with God. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what he does? He's got a physical issue going on. So you know what he does? He gets in a spiritual battle. Now look, he's wrestling. In the Bible here, the Bible said he's wrestling, in verse number 24, with a man, or there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, this ain't just regular man right here. Amen. Angels in the Bible look like men.
That's right.
So, you get over here, and in verse number 28, it said, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Why? In prayer, this is a praying situation. He's wrestling with God in prayer here. That's spiritual. He's wrestling with a spiritual being with God. His issue was spiritual, but it affected his physical. You say, how do you know? All right, well, first of all, it changed his name.
Right.
Well, that's a good thing right there. I'm glad God don't know me by my old fleshly name anymore. He knows me by a new heavenly name.
Amen.
Why? Because Chase Massengill had to die when I was born in Adam.
Yes.
Now, y'all know me by that, but guess what? One of these days, y'all will know me in a completely different aspect in a sinless body. You won't have to put up with old sinful Chase no more.
That
will be great. Right? But you know what? Not only that, but it affected his flesh. Why? Because the Bible said in verse 32, therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. He literally made him where he limped.
Right.
It affected his flesh. And some people say, how could that be a good thing? If you get to where you're leaning on God,
yeah,
a physical injury may help you if it makes you lean on God more.
Yeah.
Sometimes some of the things that happen to you, you wonder, what in the world? I don't understand this guy. And you know what? It made him lean on God. The Bible talks about he worshiped God leaning on his staff. Now look, let me tell you this. It affected his flesh, but here in the following verses, you're going to read about him meeting Esau, and Esau was glad to see him. Well, the last thing you read about Esau was ready to kill him.
Right.
Now let me tell you this. When Esau... The last thing Esau knew of Jacob was prideful, Jacob was a deceiver, and Jacob probably had his old shoulders back, and he held them back like this and walked around like he was really something. Now you imagine his brother seeing him in a more humble state and coming up like this and walking like that right there. That's not quite so intimidating, is it? He was a whole lot more approachable. next time he saw him.
That's right, Brother Chase.
His spiritual battle affected his flesh, and it affected his fight. A lot of times we're wrestling and fighting with the wrong people instead of flesh. We forget our spirit. Our battle is spiritual, according to Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness. I know if you're anything like me, I get to think, oh, so-and-so, you that girl, that boy, that whoever. Yeah, everyone, we all got them.
That's right.
And instead of taking it to God in prayer, we think we can, if I said this to them, you ain't going to do nothing to make it worse.
That's it.
That's all I've ever done with that junk, make it worse. But I tell you what, you get a hold of God, and God can do something about it. That spiritual issue took care of the physical issue. You know what's wrong with a lot of folks today in the church today? I'm not with the world's going that course anyway. I'm concerned about the church as a whole. They have resorted to physical means when the battle's not physical, it's spiritual. You have to take it to the spiritual. Now here's another thing too. You look over here in Exodus chapter 17, and here's another battle. You got Moses in the top of the mountain. There's a physical battle going on. And Joshua is fighting Amalek at the bottom of the mountain in the valley. Moses is on the top of the hill, and Moses and Aaron Hur is up here praying. They're having to hold up his hands to help him. Sometimes you say, I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes you just call in just to hold somebody up or sending them a text or just being there for them when you can. That's holding their hands up. If you can keep somebody praying, keep them in the fight. Guess what happened? Here's Moses and Aaron and Hur. They're up here at the top of the hill, verse 10. And it says, So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Do you see that the spiritual thing was going on top of the mountain, and the physical thing was going on down there, and what was going on up here affected what was going on physically.
Amen.
What I'm trying to show you is your spiritual walk affects your physical walk.
Yes, it does.
And the only way to keep off of this sinful course right here is to keep that spiritual walk up.
That's right.
And look, I'll tell you the same thing I'll probably tell you every Sunday from now. Keep that prayer up and keep that Bible reading up, and you make sure you're still looking for the Lord to come any day.
That's right.
I don't care what anybody says. People try to date this, date that. They don't know. If they knew half as much as they thought they knew, they'd probably know a little bit. But I'm trying to tell you this right here. But I'm trying to tell you this. That's important. You see, all right, here's another. I'm going to give you this. Turn to Acts 12. Is everybody all right? I hope we are. Right. I know I'm almost completely. I didn't even get into the message. I want to show you this, though. I want to show you that your spiritual walk is going to affect your physical walk. Look, you wonder how people get out. And look, I'm telling you this. There's people who are getting out. And staying out right now. There's a few folks. I don't know them well, but I know that they know as much or more Bible than I do. They're not even preaching anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Why? Because you know what happened? 1 week went by, 2 weeks went by, a month went by, now 3 months went by.
That's right.
And they say, well, I'm going to get back. It won't be long. I'm going to get back to where I'm doing something for the Lord. I'm going to start back. I tell you what, next week I'm going to start back reading. You better start back reading today.
Thanks.
You might not even be concerned about next week. People say, I'm going to pray for so-and-so tomorrow. You better pray for them today.
Now.
You know what I've learned? I've learned whenever one of y'all get on my mind, if I wake up at 2 in the morning, one of y'all's on my mind, I don't say, well, I'm going to pray for them at 6 o'clock in the morning. I go ahead and pray for you now. Why? Because maybe then was whenever they needed it.
Right.
Go ahead and do it now. You say, well, I'm going to start next January. I'm really going to start serving God. You better start today.
Today, now.
Why? Because I'm telling you this. Before long, that spiritual, you say, I can't see it. I can't see it taking place. All of a sudden it manifests, and then it's to a place where it's really hard to deal with. I know with me, have you ever had a shed? You're talking about build up. You ever, and man, if anybody here has got a shed, I know you can relate to this. I put a box or two out there, and I'll say, I'm gonna straighten up that shed next week. I'll put another box or two out there. I'm going to say, man, next month I got to straighten up that shed. That thing's getting out of hand. Before long, you can't even get the door open because so much stuff's in the shed. And then I don't want to do it because all the spiders that goes along with it. Well, we got brown recluses out there. Them things are big as a quarter. And they'll scare you to death, man. I said, man, all them brown recluses, I'm going to wait till the wintertime. Wintertime gets here and I don't have time. You know what? That's how it is with your spiritual life.
That's exactly
right. I'm going to get to it. And before long, it's gotten out of hand. I'm trying to show you how to keep it from getting out of hand. Now, here's another issue of the spiritual affecting the physical. Simon Peter's in jail. All right, you got in verse number 5, it says this. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now here's the church praying. And y'all ever had prayers and you say, sometime, man, I get down to pray, I don't even know if it's going to get answered or not. Well, you're not the only one. Why? Because the Lord answers the prayer and gets Simon Peter. It's a spiritual activity and affecting something going on physically. He's physically in jail. All right. Verse 15 says, he gets out of prison, knocks on the door. Verse 15 said, and they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. They just thought, hey, it's an appearance of Peter out there. It's not even him. I don't even believe the prayer's answered. You ever got down to pray and say, Lord, I don't even know if you're going to answer this or not. You're not the only one. That don't mean he won't answer. That shows you right there when they prayed, they didn't even believe it. That they just, hey, we're going to cast these prayers up. We're going to pray about it much as we can. But they didn't even believe it was going to get answered. Sometimes you're praying for people and honestly, in the back of your mind, you ain't going to admit this out loud. You don't even believe it's going to come to pass. You have no idea.
That's exactly right.
You have no idea. Man, I have seen people, you ever went without seeing somebody for a long time? And I know people's done this with me. Last time you seen them, they was in a bad state, and here they are now, just wonderful. Well, you didn't know 10 years ago you was going to see that person, here they are serving God. But you know what that is? That's God working in that situation. Oftentimes, we just think we know, I know what they're going to be. You have no idea. Why? Because a spiritual activity, a prayer, can change a physical activity. If you keep people in prayer, I wish we prayed for folks more than we talked about them. We need to be praying for them. Why? Because y'all people are hurting, man.
Hurting.
Here's Peter. His physical situation was pretty bad.
That's right.
And then it changed because of a spiritual activity. Now, you know what the world's trying to do? We'll get in 1 Kings 22 for a minute, and I'll try to breeze through this thing. The world's trying to get you on the wrong path of thinking that, hey, if you just get in with us and unite with us and stuff like that, we'll fix it. The world can't fix your problem. Look, politics can't fix your problem. I'd like to see Christians get in there or whatever, but look, politics can't fix your problem. Economics can't fix your problem. More money can't fix your problem. Better relations, race relations is not going to fix the issue. You know what the issue is? It's a spiritual issue and has to be fixed in a spiritual way. That's the only way. You know what the way is? The Lord Jesus Christ, get them saved, get them to Christ.
Yes.
Now I know for some people that method just don't seem to it, but that's the way to fix the issue, is get people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the world wants to get you on a completely different thing, and I want to give you a couple things out of this to show you there's a spirit at work today. Its job is to try to get Christians unified, to keep them in deception so they won't know that will of God. Look, that verse I read you in Romans 12 said that if you get in the course of this world, you're not going to know the will of God.
That's right.
Now, I want y'all to be able to be in the will of God. Now, here's the first couple things in 1 Kings 22. What you've got is you've got a story of two kings. And you know what they're about to do? They're about to join together. They want to go to war. So what they want to do is they want the prophets to be on their side. So you're going to have the majority of prophets be on their side, but they want all of them. They even want the minority to be on their side too. And you know what? Guess what? The godly minority says, hey, I don't have to have you, your friendship, as long as I'm friend of God. That's all that matters anyway. And I'm not going to go along with what they said just to make you happy. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to go along with the spirit of this world and the spirit of this age just to make everybody else who don't agree with me happy. You know, who my job is to please God.
Yes.
Now, whether it pleases anybody else or not, that's their business. And honestly, the older I get, I don't know what happens. Some of y'all is older than me, and y'all probably already done got to this place. You get older, and you really don't care what they think.
Right.
You get to the place where you realize God is the one that gave me my house. God gave me my family. God gave me this shirt on my back. God gave us everything we have. I want to please the one that's done that.
Amen.
Than this old worldly system. And I tell you what, you get a whole lot more peace and joy out of pleasing Him. He'll give you real friends, and He'll give you real things that last forever.
Yes, He will.
No. Instead of this godly stuff. Now, I want you to notice a couple things about this story here. I want you to notice in verse number 8 that truth is scarce. There's one man that stood against this whole outfit of unity to get all the prophets together. Now, what they want to do is get religion together with the politics. Now, look, like I said, I hope there's some saved people there. But look, we're not to join in with the worldly systems. You're supposed to keep the church the main thing. You're supposed to keep God, the Bible, all those things, the main thing. If they ever want to butt in there and say, hey, look, this is God's. That's the way that thing has to be. We don't care if the whole world is for it. That don't mean I got to be for it. If God's not for it, I'm not for it.
No.
Why? That'll help you with your mind state. Why the world wants to go in one direction, and it don't hurt a thing for you to say, hey, if you want to go there, that's your choice. But I don't have to. Number one, I want you to notice that truth is scarce. Verse number 8, it said, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet, watch this, underline this, one man. Look, I've been around pastures long enough to know just because you see a whole lot of flies in one place does not mean it's in a good area.
Right.
It's only one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Ain't that good to have right there, the son of Imlah? Wouldn't that be good to be able to say, hey, my boy is standing against this stuff. I hope the Lord's able to look down and say, mine. He's gonna stand against it. She's gonna stand against it. Wouldn't that be something for him to be able to say? I bet that's a proud daddy right there. Watch this. By whom we may inquire of the Lord. I hate him. Why does he hate this guy? Watch this. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He don't have to have the good words and fair speech. He don't like this guy for one reason. Not that he didn't say anything about his character, anything else. He said, I don't like him because he won't talk about the good stuff. You know what? Look to me, this word of God's honey, man. I love it.
Amen.
And you know what? You'll find out you'll fall more in love. But if you're not in line with the Bible, it's not good. It's not good to hear there's only one way to heaven. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey says.
That's exactly right.
It's only one way to heaven.
Amen.
I don't care what all this world's got to say about things. It's what the Bible says. And the world's not going to lie. Look, the truth is scarce. I want you to see there. jump down. And verse number 12, I want you to see something about the truth being scared. Their message is one of prosperity. You better watch out about these prosperity stuff coming up.
That's right.
I know godly people who don't have anything. And I know godly people who have a lot. That's not the basis of whether you're godly or not. Look, they want you to prosper. It said in verse 12, and all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. All the prophets were saying, you're going to prosper, you're going to do well. I don't think so. If you're not going with God, you're not going to. You know what it means as a preacher, I'm supposed to tell you?
Right.
You're not going to prosper if you don't serve God. Yeah. Now, you may have all the wealth in this world. You know what the prosperity I'm talking about? Laying your head down at night on your pillow and having peace in your heart. I know a lot of people who've got millions of dollars. Now look at these actors and stuff like that. Are they happy? They got millions. They can have anything they want. That shows you that this is not tied up in prosperity. I'd like to see y'all have spiritual. When you lay down in your head on that pillow, you know if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. That's what I want for you. Have joy in the fact that knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to help you through anything. That's what I'd like to see you have. But guess what? The world wants you. Well, prosperity. Well, we're told to be content in whatever state we're in.
Whatever.
Not only that, but their message is one of peace. Look at verse number 13. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spoke unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. All of them's in unity. He said, let thy word, you old rascal, let thy word, I pray thee, you old, that's a bad prayer right there, be like the word of one of them and speak that which is good. You know what they're saying? Just like they're saying, we want you to have peace with everybody else. Why? You're disrupting things. You're divisive. Well, we're just going to be divisive then. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, He gave me a double-edged sword. And guess what? It's for dividing.
That's exactly right.
And you know what it does? It divides truth from error. It divides heaven from hell. It divides right from wrong. White from dark. Light from dark. Everything else. It divides. It divides. And the world don't like it. And you know what we're supposed to do? Is take that Bible and say, guess what? I know you may be having a message of peace, but I ain't going to take you there. But I was reading about Jehu over in 2 Kings 9. And the Lord wanted Jehu to do something for him. And Jehu, he knew how those people were. And man, they come up to Jehu and they knew he was a bad dude. And they said, is it peace, Jehu? He said, what hast thou to do with peace? You know what? I know this right here. Most of this world, the more they talk about peace, the more they're trying to take peace from you.
That's right.
You know, it's like they used to say, the communists, well, they want peace. All right, they want a piece of this and a piece of that. You know what they want? They want a piece of what you work real hard for. Now look, it's not always peaceful. Well, the time of peace right now is in your heart with the Lord, and the time of real peace will come when the Prince of Peace comes here. But until then, guess what you're going to have? War after war after war. But at least I don't have to have a war in my heart. I can have victory in Jesus. Now, notice that the truth is scarce. Notice also number two, the specific way to stand in verse number 14. This is what this preacher says. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. It's simple, y'all. We don't have to get no great big old argument about it. All we got to do is just what the Lord wants. Just say, hey, this is what the Bible says about it. I'm going to let you argue with God about it. I got to go on my day.
Amen.
Calvinist comes up and says, well, only the elect can be saved. Well, I'm elect because I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's elect. I'll let you worry about it. You and God. Why? Because I was predestined not to be a Calvinist.
Amen.
That junk's garbage, man. That stuff will kill anybody. Why even go out and do anything if God's already predetermined who's going to go to heaven, who's going to go to hell? You know what? He'll say, whosoever will. And guess what I do? I'll point him to the Bible and say, whosoever will. Just argue with God about it. I got things to do. All right, here's another thing. There's a way to test the word. Look at verse number 15. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, watch this, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. So he just kind of threw out there, I'll go and prosper. You ain't wanting to listen anyway. But watch what the king said. Here's the way to even the king knew how to test the word of God. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? He knew when Micaiah didn't say in the name of the Lord, and the Lord says, he said, I'll just go and prosper. Now here's the thing. Is the Lord saying it or is the world saying it?
That's right.
Did you get that idea out of the Bible or are you going by your feelings? I've had people say, well, I just don't feel saved. Well, thank God I don't have to go by that. Well, that's the world. Well, I don't feel good half the time. Sometimes I feel bad. You know what it is? I need to drink a Coke and burp. But you know what it is? A lot of times your feelings would deceive you.
That's right.
Well, it just makes me happy to do so and so. That's not a good thing. There's a lot of things that make you happy. It's just as simple as they can be.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what makes you happy? I can tell you. You get around it. You know what makes you happy? Serving God, being kind in the Lord to other people, and putting the Lord first, others next, and yourself last. That is where real joy is. I'm telling you, it's there. Now, sometimes it takes us a lifetime to figure that out. But we start putting self first every time with these selfish self. The Bible said lovers of their own self. That's what's going on. You know what it'll do? Steal your joy. Steal your joy. You test the word. What does God say? You know what he's saying? Today, just like then, people are prophesying out of their own heart. According to Jeremiah 23:16, the same thing's going on today. People just say, you have to be careful about these people. I know I'm running out of time. Y'all be patient with me. I'll try. But I've heard people say, well, you know, the Lord told me so-and-so. I seen an angel. I seen a vision. I just say, whoa, wow. I got to go. Well, you get telling these people, and man, they've seen these angels, all these wings on them and everything else. And I'm thinking, man, have me removed. I got to go. They seen these glory of God coming down in the car with them. I got to go, man. Why? I didn't see that. I didn't see it. For all I know, you could be lying to me. You know what you better do? Go by the book every time.
Yes.
You know what? You got some of these people, and they get up there and do that hoshla shunta, unha, bow tie, fee, fi, fo, fum, don't you feel dumb? And they get up there and say all that stuff, and they say, well, you know what I said? Yeah, you told me you was going to give me $5,000. Why? Because, look, they say, well, I got the gift of tongue. Well, I can interpret. Now, you said you was going to pay the church off. What I'm telling you is, y'all, people will try their best to just, and look, they're pulling the wool over people's eyes. Don't believe it. Don't you believe it for a minute. Why? There's all kind of deception out there. That crooked path is a deceptive path, and God will give you the truth if you'll accept it. The problem is, like these kings here, they wanted to unite, but not in truth. They wanted to unite in error. And you'll get to deceive. Well, these guys get killed because of it. And I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody. Now, here's another thing. The last thing, notice the danger of not separating. Verse number 22, what happens is Micaiah does say, verse 18, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? So this is what he says. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand, on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, another said on that manner. And you know what you have? You have God Almighty up on his throne, and you got all these unclean spirits coming up before him and saying, hey, we want to lie. We want to make sure he bites the lie. And I've had people say, well, how could that happen when sinners can't come before the throne of God? And how those sinful things come before the throne of God? Well, I'm a sinner, and God makes a way through Jesus Christ where I can come to the throne boldly.
Right.
Now, don't you think if he can make a way for me, he's got some kind of way for them to be able to communicate? Now, it's not through the blood of Jesus Christ, because they can't be saved by the blood. But I'm telling you, if he made a way for me to be able to get into the throne room without being there physically, he can make a way for them to be able to communicate to him. There's no contradictions in the Bible. You just have to go over that stuff. But there's this shows you how deception goes. So guess what? The deception is severe. Watch this. Verse 21, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit. Watch this. In the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. The Lord didn't do it, he allowed it. That shows just permissive will. You say, how is all this deception going on in the world? How do all these people believe all this garbage that they believe? How is all this happening? He just told you how it happens.
That's right. Amen.
They don't want the truth.
That's right.
They don't want God. All they want is Lord, tell me good. And the Lord said, it'll be good if you listen to what I have to say. When you go to the doctor, guess what? He has to give you a little painful thing to cut cancer out or whatever it may be. But then good happens after that. The Lord said, hey, if you'll take my word, you may not like it at first, but a good thing's going to happen after. The world don't want that. So guess what? The Lord said, hey, they wanted a lie anyway. Let them have it. Now, that's your God right there. Why? He's saying, hey, you got free will. If you want a lie, I'll let you have the lie. But if you want the truth, I'll let you have the truth. You know what the truth does?
Amen.
Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The course of this world right here is crooked like a serpent. It's confusion. Confusion. The most confusing times I've ever been in my life, when I was on that course of this world, and you can't find the answers. Why? It's just all over the place. That's what it'll do to your mind.
Yes, it will.
And you know what? You get back on this right here, and sometimes it may take a little bit. Why? It took a long time to get out there. Sometimes it takes a little bit back for the Lord to straighten out these kinks.
Right.
And before long, the peace starts coming, the joy starts coming. Guess what? It's in the right way. What I'm trying to tell you is this, to keep from that deception right there, the deception is severe. Guess what you do? A lot of times you miss out on the fellowship of his suffering. Guess what? They get mad at Micaiah, and all of them end up in a bad way. But look at this in verse 27, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison. He didn't do nothing wrong but tell him the truth. I said, look, it's happening now, and it'll happen until the Lord comes back. People are going to can't stand. They're going to persecute believers for the truth. But watch this. And feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, you're not going to come in peace, and he doesn't come in peace. Here's the thing. Philippians 3:10, I'm getting ready to close. Paul says this while he's in prison.
Right.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know what? Yeah. A lot of times you're going through stuff, man, and you just can't understand God. You get to a place and you say, Lord, I don't understand this. I am really going through something, Lord, I don't understand. And I'm hurting. And Lord, bad things are going to... You know how you get with God and, man, you can get and just get serious with him? And guess what? You don't even realize it's in that time you got closer to God. And if it wasn't for that, you would have never been as close to him now as you were. Because look, like this guy right here, he goes through something with God and gets closer to God for it. Paul gets closer to God for it. You know what? You're going to be able to look back a lot of times on your life and you didn't get as close to God in the prosperous times. It was in the times where you were going through mental anguish, man, that you thought nobody knew. And a lot of them didn't know, truth be known, but God knew.
Yes, He did.
And God got you through that, and God said, hey, that's what got us close right there.
Amen.
You know what? You get close with family members oftentimes. You know who your friends are by whenever they go through it with you.
Yeah.
And they stick with you through what we call thick and thin. You know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out it's going to be God that sticks with you through all that stuff.
Amen.
And all these things that go on, all this stuff, with the, you know what? God can give you peace and joy.
Amen.
In the Holy Ghost. And that's what I want to see you have that. And I tell you this, it's not on the course of this world. One of these days, y'all, I've got all kind of other stuff that I was going to go over. But in closing, I want you to know this right here. One of these days, you're going to be able to see the Lord Himself.
Yes, you will.
And the days for suffering are gone. The days for sorrow are gone. All that stuff's gone. What you do for Christ right now is what's counting. You know what? Today is the day to serve Him. You said, man, I hadn't been these past couple months or whatever. I may have put my Bible down a little bit. Okay, well, you're here, you're alive today. Let's start back today. Let's start back really serving God today. Why? Because you've got today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's start today and see what we can do for Him today. And I tell you what, if you'll start yielding to Him, the Lord will help you through what He's brought you to it, and He'll bring you through it. That's our Lord right there. Let's close out. Dad, would you close us out, please?